Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
How many of you here remember whenever we put our first man on the moon? Pretty much all of us here, right? And I think God wanted me to share this with you, is the words that came from Neil Armstrong were, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." And I felt God was saying to someone or more than someone's here, is that He's asking for you to take that small step. He's been speaking to you. He's been wanting to draw you in a place that you've never seen before, but that you'll never go backwards again after you get to that place. And so He's wanting to draw you, and He's saying, take that small step. It's just a small step for you, but when you do, be prepared for the strides that you will take because He is walking with you. He is going to take you to places that you've never seen. And so how that moon thing related to this, I don't know. But God is speaking, and I think it's more than one. I think that's even for me. It's like every small step that we take, if we trust in Him, you know, God's not limited. We're the ones that limit Him. And so our expectations of what we can do through Him sometimes are so small. And He's saying, no, I've got so much more for you. But we can stay in that place there and never go. So if that's you or more than one of you, I know it's me. And so take that small step and just be prepared for the strides that'll come forth from your life. Thank you.
Good morning, church. I have news to share. Abe and McKay and Ben are doing much better. So praise God. Thank you to all who are praying for them. They're suffering. They suffered from COVID. And, you know, one of the things was my heart broke when I heard. But then a friend called me and she saw her family suffer through it. And they suffered greatly. And the one thing she gave me was this word that God had given her. So I'm going to share it with you because you know what? We all need to hear from the word. And it's Exodus 23:25. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. That's a word we can stand on because God's word doesn't change. It's the same today, tomorrow, and it was as in the days of old. And so I stood on that word for their healing. And I want you to know that you can stand on that too. I mean, you know what? We have so many powerful scriptures that give us life, that gives us breath, that shows us what we need to do each and every single day. And sometimes we don't have use of those tools that God has given us. And they're for all the time, until from the beginning of the time when we were born to the time when we go to Him. And so I encourage you that if your family is suffering right now, this is a word we can stand on for their healing. This is a word that can make a difference in their life. Know that God is with us through the deepest, darkest moments. And as a mother, while my heart was broken, I stand knowing that God increased my faith. And because He takes us from glory to glory, isn't that wonderful? And so we've got to just know that He is with us, beside us, before us, behind us, and sometimes He just carries us. So know, people, be encouraged that this is your word. This is the word that can heal your family. And so, you know, I'm praying for each and every family that is suffering. And it doesn't matter that it's COVID or flu or cancer, whatever it is, God is there for you. And He will give you hope. He will help give you strength. And sometimes we think some of the things we go through that, you know, Lord, why? But, you know, sometimes it's just to make us better. It's to make us stronger. It's to help us be able to share the word with others. And that's the one thing, guys, you know, when you leave here, walk in that. take a step for the kingdom. Every place you go is an opportunity. And when he speaks into your ear, know that he's already prepared that person to hear it. Whether they're angry or not, because sometimes they do get angry, but they'll come back to you later and tell you you made a difference in their life. So going forward, make a difference. And know that God's word is true all the time. Yes. And so I praise God for their healing. I praise God for all the healings and all the people that we're praying for in this church and outside the church, because we have friends, we have neighbors, we have all kinds of people that we can reach and touch with the hope of our Lord. And it's through those times that we even increase our faith. There have been times when God increases my faith and he talks to me when I'm talking to others. And it's like, okay, Lord, I got that message too. So just know that he loves us all. And he loves each and every person that you love, whether they're saved or not. He is looking for you to be the catalyst that brings them to him. And so I just love you all. I love this church. I love what we're doing. And just stand in faith and God will continue to increase it.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. My heart just weeps. My heart is weeping during the time of all this chaos that's happening. In the beginning, God formed a man by a breath, and he breathed life into you. But we're acting like if we're dead, and he did life already. And then what happened was Eve ate the wrong tree. She ate from the wrong tree. And the tree of life was there. And she just, she brought sin into the world because of it. And Jesus came to take away our sins. And at that point, when the Father God saw Eve do what she did, he put the tree of life into the garden. He says, you don't go there. Don't touch it. Because it's the tree that needed to be taken care of, because sin, God can't mix sin with life, with his love. So what he did was he put cherubims and he put a flaming sword in front of it during the garden. And he says, this is the tree of life. Then Jesus came and he took it down. He took the swords down. He took the cherubims down so we can go into the tree of life. So let's stop murmuring. Let's stop talking about what used to be happening or what didn't happen, because he's already taken care of it. Right. He's already done it, and then we can't do anything. We look, and he says, don't judge, because none of us can throw the stone. None of us can throw a stone. We are all under his grace and his mercy and his favor. Hold on to that, because his love surpasses everything that you do. His love and his, and the time, it's intimacy with God is what he wants. He doesn't want you to look at other things. He wants you to look at him. And the enemy will come and he'll distract you and he'll show you who's doing what and who's doing that. But God's saying, don't look at that. It's only the enemy distracting you. Look at me. So continue to look at him, because there's nothing more wonderful to look at. More grace, more love, more mercy. And the thing is, he gives you peace that passes all your understanding. He lights up your life. He shines, and all of a sudden, chaos is happening around you, and you don't even know it, because you have a peace that he's given you. But if we keep on looking at the chaos, we don't receive his peace. The Holy Spirit isn't able to give us the fruit of the Spirit. And he will teach us all things. We don't need to go around looking at anybody but him.
I think we're ready to introduce our pastor. I think he's on his way. Pastor Henry. Yeah.
He was about to tell you, I told him before, I said, hey, I got to go to the restroom real fast. So get up there and get just in case it ends. So yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Awesome job this morning. Man, let me say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just got a couple of quick things real quick. I mean, sometimes, how many know that by his stripes, we have been healed? You guys know that? Hallelujah. So there's been a couple of things that have been happening to me all morning. And I know, look, I got to just say this. I know I'm healed. Is that right? How many say that? But I have been getting a pain right here. So if any of you have been getting a pain right here, I want to pray for you. Okay. Is that okay? It's the left side, just below the belly button. Hallelujah. And then there's another one is that I've been getting a pain in my wrist right in here. And I don't know if there's anybody that's been doing that. But anyway, if you are, you don't have to raise your hand. Yeah, I just want you to know that God loves you and he wants to touch you this morning. Hallelujah. I already know I'm healed. So these aren't mine. They don't belong to me. They belong to somebody that I'm talking to. Is that okay? Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray, Father. I thank you this morning for all that you do. Father, your word says that you sent your son and healed them. Your word says you are the God that heals us. Lord, your word says that by your stripes, Jesus, we were healed. When you took that whipping on that day before you went to the cross, Father, your blood was shed there for our sicknesses, our diseases. So, Lord, we believe that. And Lord, I speak to every person in the house, not only those ones that I've called out, but every person, Father, that your body would be strengthened by the word of the Lord this morning. If you guys say amen? Amen, he sent his word and heals you. How many say amen to that? Praise God. Woo. How many of you had a good time in worship this morning? Oh, I loved the worship this morning. Really good, man. I thank God that we are able to worship him in a way where you just sense his presence. How many say amen? Amen. Praise God. He's good. God is good. Amen. All the time. He is always good. Hallelujah. He loves you. How many say amen? He loves you more than you realize. Is that okay? Oh, man. Glory to God. I guess we'll get right to the message. How many say amen? Amen. Come on, Pastor. Get rid of it. Get it done, Pastor, so we can go home. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'll get you out of here about 5:30. That should leave you a little bit of sunlight left. Is that okay? Come on. Yes. Everybody says amen. Yeah, right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. If you will, open your Bibles to John chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 1. We're going to go to 21. Hallelujah. I love when a Pharisee goes to see Jesus. How many say amen to that? Yeah, I just love and if you haven't watched it, if you haven't had a chance to watch The Chosen yet, I mean, this is probably that is probably one of my favorite scenes that they filmed in there when Nicodemus asked Jesus to go have a talk with him. And how many of you know it's important that we have a talk with God? How many of you know? How many say amen to that? How many of you have found that just because you spoke to God, you began to feel strengthened and something happened within you and you say, oh man, I feel better than I did before I even started. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. I mean, just talking to God, it caused you to get, I mean, powered up. How do you say amen to that? Do you know why? Because he loves you and he wants you to power up on him. How many say amen? Everybody say power up.
Power up.
Power up. One more time, power up.
Power up.
One more time, power up.
Power up.
Yeah, power up. Yeah, that's not the name of our sermon. Praise God. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, starting at verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. How do you say amen to that? Amen. Nobody can do the miracles you've been doing. Is that right? How many of you know God? We serve a miracle working God. Is that right? Come on. Hallelujah. So Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I mean, truly, truly, he says, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and you can hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell from where it's coming or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I like that. How many of you are born of the Spirit of God this morning? How many God's Spirit dwells in you? And sometimes you just don't. You can be anywhere, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit tells you to do something. Is that right?
Yes.
What?
Amen.
Now, God? I'm in the middle of it. Yeah, now? Yeah, you just don't know. I would say amen. The best thing to do whenever it happens, is that right? Just follow it. Just say, okay, I'll do what I, okay, God, if that's what you want, I'll do that. Amen? I'm going to allow him to use you and that what he's placed within you for somebody else. Is that okay? How many of you know we shouldn't be hoarders? Some of you are hoarding the word of God. Hey, let it loose sometimes. Amen? Come on. Praise God. So Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, aren't you a master of Israel and knowest not thou these things? Verily, verily, I say to you, we speak that we do know, and we testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things and you don't believe, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? That's a good question, amen? If I'm telling you earthly things and you're not believing, hey, when you hear heavenly things, how many of you know we are in a time where God wants us to hear these heavenly things? We are in a time where God is placing the kingdom of God in the earth. Never before in history has there been the amount of believers on this earth like there are right now. How many say amen to that? The kingdom of God is getting ready to manifest this thing. How many say, can you hear this? God is desiring that his name be glorified in all the earth. Is that okay? Can you hear it? God told Moses, when they made that golden calf, God told Moses, get over here, boy. Is that right, Reuben? Get over here, boy. I'm going to hide you over here, and I'm going to wipe them all out. We'll start something new with you. How's that, Moses? Yeah. And Moses, but God, you just brought them out of Egypt. How will that look? You brought them out here to destroy them, and here I am by myself. They're going to think I did it. Yeah, no. But you know what? Moses interceded for them. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
What God told Moses is very important to us because God says, okay, I heard you, is what he told Moses. Okay, I'm not going to wipe them out. But then God says, but know this, Moses, that my glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Do you know that? See, that is the word of God. And I'll tell you why. I don't care what's going on in the earth today. God still says, my glory is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Is that okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. I do this a lot. Now, where was I? It says, verse 13, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Whole study on that. I love that scripture. Anyways, verse 14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen? And here's that scripture we all know. We see in the football fields, amen? Baseball fields, you'll see that. You know, and it says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. I'm going to say that again. Whoever believes in him will not perish. Oh, I like it so much, I'm going to say it one more time. He that believes in him will not perish. How many of you like that? Amen? Hallelujah. Woo, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. But have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. That's something the church needs to remember. Hey, we're not here to condemn folks. Jesus didn't come to condemn folks. We're not here to do that either. I mean, say amen to that. Come on, be nice. Look at your neighbor and say, be nice. Come on. When they're being mean, say, stop it. Be nice. Hallelujah. But that the world through him might be saved. Amen? Hallelujah. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. What is his name?
Jesus.
Come on. Hallelujah. Verse 19 says this, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be made should be reproved. And in verse 21 says this, but he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. How many say amen to that? There's a lot in these scriptures. Can I tell you, when Jesus is talking, it's good for you to go home and read the red and say, God, what did you say? What were you talking here? What were you talking about, God? I mean, one of the best things I love about this is that Nicodemus went to Jesus because he had a question. Is that right? Nicodemus had a one-on-one with God, with Jesus. Amen? How many of you know that's a good thing? Our message this morning, the message that I believe God has gave me last night, I had a message earlier this week, and it was about the tower of Siloam. Remember that tower that fell and killed 18 guys? Remember that? That's the message I'm working on during the week. I'm getting ready to put it together last night, and he says, throw that away. I got something else for you. I said, well, come on, God. But I've been thinking about this one all week. God says, no, this one's delivering tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, there's some folks in here that need to hear this message. God doesn't do this unless he says, hey, man, I've got something for them this morning. How many know it's not important what I say? It's what he says. Amen. It's what the word of God says. Amen. How many say amen? How many still believe in this book? How many believe that that is the word of God? Hallelujah. Unchanging. How many know God's unchanging? Do you know that he is unfailing? Do you know he will not lie to you? Do you know that he says he will watch over and take care of you? Do you know that? Hallelujah. If you don't know it, get to know it, because it's the greatest position you can be in. Hallelujah. So he says one-on-one. How many believe that God is asking you to be for you to have one-on-one time with him? Is that okay? Is that all right? I'm going to talk about a couple of times in the word of God where there's one-on-one. I want to take you to Genesis chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. Find that in your Bibles real quick. Everybody there? Ha ha, you know, I got you guys, man, cell phones and everything else, man. So here it is. It says this, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. You guys remember this? And all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is before me, for the earth is for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch, and this is the fashion which you shall make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it, 50 cubits. And the height of it, 30 cubits. Here's a one-on-one God is having with Noah. How many say amen? And it's not, and how many would you like to be Noah? I want you to build the boat. Amen? Oh, no, God, let me. Yeah, I really do. If you look up the genealogy that right before Noah, you're going to see that his dad, his granddad, and his great-granddad all helped him build that ark. Most of them passed away right before that flood. Isn't that cool? Oh, man, this is my daddy's work. Amen. But God, in his one-on-one with Moses, told him, I'm going to destroy all the earth, and you're going to be in charge of some stuff, boy. Amen?
Amen.
And God, what I love about God, not only did he tell them what to do, hey, put pitch on, and you know what pitch is? It's tar. Put it on the inside and on the outside, because you're going to be floating. Is that right? How many know that there had never rained on that by this time on the earth? Did you know that? The word of God said it hadn't rained yet. Never had it rained. He says, so you're going to be floating. I said, but God, there ain't no lakes around here. Build it right here. What? Right here, he says, build it here. And then he even tells him the sizes of it. Isn't that cool with God? Tells him, I want you to build this thing, the length of it, of a good football field. And the width of it, probably about the width of a good football field, somewhere around there. Is that okay? And I want it so high, and you're going to put a window in it, one window. Praise God. Isn't that crazy? Can I tell you, one-on-one with God is not just a, hey, man, you know what? God wants to talk to you, his people. Is that okay? Yeah. And it's important. He wants to have a one-on-one with you. Praise God. Take you to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Look at this one. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord spoke, appeared unto him in a flame of a fire out of the midst of the bush. You guys remember this? God's getting ready to have a one-on-one with Moses. How many say amen to that? Took a burning bush that doesn't burn. Is that okay? Praise God. And he says, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said to Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. You remember what happened after that? You, my friend, are going to go to Egypt, and you're going to bring my people out of Egypt. And Moses said, what? Who, me? You know, the Bible says that Moses even stuttered. How many know that? Wait a minute, God. You want me? Yeah. You're my choice, boy. I mean, say, man, come on, man. Come on, man. I hope none of you are getting upset about what I'm saying. But you know what? It was a one-on-one with Moses. And God was specific in what he was telling me. How do you say amen to that? Why wouldn't he be specific with you? Why wouldn't he? How many like one-on-ones? I remember when my son was Jonathan was playing basketball. He used to like playing one-on-one with me. How many say that? And, you know, hey, I started noticing as the years went by, he started getting better and better. It was harder and harder for me to win. I mean, you know what I mean? He was getting a little taller. Started shooting better. And it was, and one game I remember, man, I barely beat him. Barely beat him. And then he graduated into the third grade. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. That kid began to play, and you know what? There's a point to where I could not beat him. I don't care what I did. I had to start holding him, tackling him, and I still wouldn't win. Let me say amen to that. I said, praise God. I said, man, one-on-one. But he was like, come on, Dad, it's one-on-one. And now he's getting big. He's pushing, shoving me around like, hey, man, come on, old man. Yeah, crazy. He started playing baseball. And you know how many of you guys, anybody watched that Field of Dreams? Yeah. Yeah. And you know where, if you build it, he will come. Remember that? And, you know, and a lot of it was about his dad, him and his dad. And his dad just wanted to have a catch with him. How many say amen to that? Remember that? It's a beautiful thing. It's just a beautiful, I loved it. But anyway, I started playing catch with my son. How many played catch with your boy? Are you, anybody? Yeah. Playing catch. And he wanted to pitch. And, oh, man. And just in case nobody knows about this, I see double. I had an injury in the mind, and I see two of everything. So this place looked like it's fully packed. There's a lot of people, a lot of folks of you. All 40 of you over here, come here. No, man, I see double of everything. I really do. And praise God, man. Let me just say, but when he wanted to pitch. So I'm getting down. I got me a catcher's mitt, and I get down on, and man, it was fine at first when he first started. But man, those balls started coming fast. He was fast. It got into when he was in the little league, where it was the older kids, the teens, that when he was pitching, some of the coaches from the opposing teams would stand at the backstop, behind the backstop, just to see his styles, watch what he was doing. And because he was fast. Hey, I bought me some, well, they call those things that you put, your shin guards, right? I bought me some shin guards. Sorry, a cup. I'm playing catch with him, and these things are coming in fast and hard. And man, at his house when he was relaxed and he was trying to knock his dad over, he wanted to knock me backwards. That was his thing. I just want to knock you back. When those balls are coming fast and hard, he was so relaxed. But when he was out there on that field, I saw it. I could see it because I had spent that one-on-one time with him. I could see, man, he's up. He's nervous. And I would go to the back. I'd go back of the dugout and say, "Mijo, you just got to calm down." "I know, Dad. I know. You just got to calm down." Can you imagine Rosie in there watching her boy play baseball? People would, they'd be sitting next to her, but all of a sudden they'd start moving away because she's rattling the bleachers, screaming, hitting folks. I tell her, "Babe, you got to be like that for Jesus. Come on, man." Hallelujah. She's going out. She is. But one-on-one time, God wants the one-on-one time. See, you begin to recognize. When you're spending one-on-one time, you begin to recognize when he's talking to you. Amen. Is that right? That's right. Cool, man. That's right. When you're spending one-on-one time with him, he's able to speak to you about things that are coming. Do you know that? You know, one of the things that God likes to do is speak to you about things that are coming. Notice with Abraham. I'm sorry, with Noah. Notice with Noah. There's something coming, Noah. I'm going to tell you about it. Yeah. Notice with Moses. Moses, there's something coming. I'm going to tell you about it. He'll do the same thing to you. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. How many know that? He never changes. Aren't you glad he doesn't change? Whew, he wants to talk to you. He wants you, hallelujah, in a place where he says, "Man, look, I've got something coming, and I want you to know about it." Is that right? The Bible says if the good man had known what time the thief would come, he would have watched and he would not allow that thief to enter into his house. I mean, say amen to that. So you got to watch with God. Watch with God because he'll show you things to come. Isn't that good? Yeah. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6:6. Watch this. "But you, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you close your door, pray to your Father." When you shut your door, "Pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly." That's a promise, folks. He's telling you, "Hey, enjoy your time one-on-one with me." Can I say that to you? Enjoy your time one-on-one with him. That's crazy. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. It says, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Just because you say, "Lord, Lord," Jesus is saying, not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of heaven. It says, "But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? In your name done many wonderful works?' Then I will profess to you, to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity.'" Can you go back to the front one? Listen to what it's saying here. Listen to what Jesus is saying. See, because Jesus came to be an example to us about how to live in this kingdom. Is that right? Folks, I'm telling you, he's bringing a kingdom onto the earth. You're part of it. You remember, I got to say this. Jesus said, "Let me teach you how to pray." He said, "Our Father which art in heaven." Come on, pray with me. "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Stop right there. See, right there, Jesus was teaching to pray, "Father, your kingdom come here as it is there." How many say amen to that? That's how Jesus taught us to pray. God has been talking about his kingdom ruling the earth. How many say amen to that? We've been watching about it. We've been looking at scriptures that this kingdom is coming. Randy's been teaching a great teaching. I mean, come on, man. We've been being taught about this kingdom that God is placing on the earth. It's already within us. But God is saying it's time that it be exposed in the earth. How many say amen to that? Amen. Amen. There is healing. There's everything that mankind needs is in this kingdom. Hallelujah. And God has been shaking the foundations all around us. We've seen it. He says, "My kingdom will stand," is what he says. It's coming, folks. This kingdom is coming. While I was putting this together last night, the Lord spoke in my heart. He says, "The kingdom will be experienced and demonstrated by those spending one-on-one time with me." That's where you understand, you know what it is he has for you. Folks, there is a thing called being led by the Spirit that God is very serious about. You don't do anything else except for what he tells you to do. Can you just be comfortable? If God hasn't telling you what to do, you just be comfortable and say, well, God, I'm waiting on you. You tell me what to do. Let me know what it is your will is for my life, and I'll do it. That's all you got to do. Is that okay? It's, you know, God is saying, hey, no more is it this helter-skelter stuff saying, I think I'll do this. Oh, no, I think I'll do this. No, I think I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do this. And you know what? And God is saying, hey, no, no, no. It is called being led by my spirit. That's how you do. That's how you operate in this kingdom. And this kingdom will operate just like that. How many of you know that in heaven they are doing the will of God, what God wants? He's saying that's what's going to happen here. How many say amen to that? Oh, I love it. Praise God. One of the things about Jesus, when you go to him in your one-on-one time, it's going to happen just like Nicodemus. See, one thing that God loves to do is reveal things to his kids. He wants to reveal these things to you. Yes, a download. He wants to do that. So one of the things, if you look at all the information after he says, I'll be born again, look at all the information he gives. Jesus gives Nicodemus just at that time. Just because he went and he found it, that's where we got some of our favorite scriptures. John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's where we got it. That was the first time it was spoken. It was spoken to John. I mean, spoken to Nicodemus. Isn't that cool? You see, God wants to give you information. He wants to tell you. He wants to be very specific with you. But see, we're good with just say, okay, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay, I said my prayers for today and I'm out. No, don't do that anymore. God wants you in his presence so you can find what he's saying to you. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. One-on-one with God causes you to know him more so that you... more than what you can imagine. He will show you his will for your life. I want to put up John 3:20-21 again, just so we can. For everyone that does evil hates the light. And is that right? Can you guys understand it? Anybody that's doing evil, they don't like the light. Why? Can you see them doing it? Is that right? There's a light. I mean, most of the time, bad things are done at dark. Is that right? Man, you didn't hear this from me, but I used to steal car parts. You didn't hear it from me. This is before I knew the Lord, okay? So I got to make sure I say that. That the old man, hallelujah. We used to call it Midnight Auto. Anybody had it? Yeah. Some of you have done the same thing. Come on. Yeah, hallelujah. Hubcaps, whatever. And it always had to be, hey, we'll pick a nice dark spot. How many say, man? See, the deeds were evil. And that darkness was around me, and I used that darkness to get what I wanted. Okay? So everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He says, but he that does truth. How many say truth? Everybody say truth. Folks, there's only one truth. Is that right? Amen. Truth. Truth is truth. Amen? Amen. I mean, hey, yeah, you can say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't matter. How many say amen? Amen. Truth amen. Is truth. It always stands as truth. Amen. It is full throttle all the time. Amen? Yeah. It's like your car.
Yes, sir.
Your car can be like, you can adjust the speed on it, right? Truth isn't like that.
Amen.
It's true all the time.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't matter what man says about truth. Jesus, what God says, this is truth, that's truth. Amen?
Amen?
Come on, man. Oh, yeah, you get this. Jesus said, I am the way,
the truth,
and the life. Doesn't matter. Truth is truth. He that does the truth, he says, comes to the light that his deeds may be manifest, right? That they are wrought in God. There's a little bit of, it kind of hides itself in. I'm gonna show you something. If you go to Psalm 68:28, this is the King James Version, only says this in a couple. It says, thy God has commanded thy strength. Is that right? How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Everybody jump. No, I'm just kidding. I love this scripture. You know why? Because God that commanded the light to shine in the darkness, commanded the planets, commanded all those things. It says that he commanded your strength. Is that cool? He's commanding you to be strong. Amen. So I'm going to say to you, be strong in the Lord and power of his might. How many say amen to that? Amen. How many say, man, I felt that. Raise your hand to God. Ooh, come on, man. God wants you strong because we've got something to do. Thy God has commanded thy strength. And then he says this, strengthen, O God, that which you have wrought for us. Interesting verse, isn't it? That which you've wrought. What does wrought mean? Just call it done. All right? Strengthen that, what you have done for us, God. Can I tell you that God knew you from the beginning of time to, is that right? He purposely planned you. You're not a mistake. You are here with a plan and a purpose. And where is it? It's deep within you. God's already placed it within you. You just don't know. Some of you might not even know about it. I didn't know about it. But then God said, you're a pastor. I said, are you crazy? I felt like Moses. What? Me? Yeah. It's already in you. That purpose and that plan has already been planted in you. And he says here, God, strengthen that which you wrought for us. I'm going to take you to another scripture. This is Acts chapter 15, verse 18. It says, known unto God are all his works. How many say you're part of his works? Is that right? Amen. Known unto God are all his works from when? From the beginning. See, he planned you. His plan is on you. You might not know it, but it's there. And you're going to find out what it is by that one and one-on-one experience that you experience with God. Is that okay? Is that good? God desires to speak to you. You. That scripture I read a little while, it says that only those that do the will of my Father. And then he says this. He goes, but you're going to say to me, hey, Lord, didn't we do these works? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we? See, God's not into the we. Is that right? God doesn't play that tennis with the we. I'm just kidding. I don't know why. I don't even know why I said that. Dumb. Okay. God's not into the we. He's into the person. He's a one-on-one. I want to talk to you. I have a plan for you. I have something for you. Hallelujah. That's why, folks, it's so unreal. I mean, it's so wrong to impose your desires on your children. Can I say that to you? Because God has a plan for them too. Best thing for a mom or dad to do is find out what, God, show me what it is. He will speak that plan to you if you will spend one-on-one time in his presence so that you can verify the plan that's in your children. Is that okay? Praise God. That's why on your knees, come on, is a place to be. Amen. I want to just show you this last verse. It's we've been looking at it, but it is John chapter 3, verse 21. It says this. This is in the TPT, so it makes it a little easier for us. It says, but those who love the truth will come out into the light and welcome its exposure. How many say amen? Amen. For the light will reveal that their fruitful works were produced by who?
God.
Yeah, not you. The works that are in you, God is saying, it's me. Yield to my will and you watch what will happen. He loves you more than you even realize. He died for you. If you're in here today and you've never really experienced the love of God, know that God died for you. He sent his son onto a cross for your sins so that your sins could be washed away, so that you could find a place in his presence so that you can do a one-on-one with God. How do you say amen? Let's stand. Let's stand. We'll pray for you and we're going to let you go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. Father, I pray for each and every person that's here this morning, God. Father, not only like we prayed earlier that they are healed, but Father God, that give them a hunger like they've never had for that one-on-one experience with you. For that to be happening in their lives, God, because you lead and you guide by your spirit, Father God, as your people worship you and find place and give room for you, Lord. We thank you for it and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, Say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, thank you for coming this morning. And God bless you all. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.